Hello, hello. Welcome back to Minority Reports. Yet another amazing episode here at the Show Creator Studio in Vegas. Today, we have a pretty fantastic guest of mine. She's, you know, I've been kind of worshiping her for a while. I follow her. She's pretty fantastic. She's a fellow Brownie girl, so gotta give love to the Brownie girls. She's a fantastic writer and producer, my friend Bhavani Rao. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
This is really great. Thank you for pulling in last minute. I see there's a white dude going back and forth behind you.
It's my awesome office mate, Tyler.
Hello, Tyler.
Hello.
Hi. I like the diversity in your office, man.
So what's up?
So Bhavani, so you and I last night you were kind enough to invite me to the Producers Guild for the panel for the movie Bombshell.
Yes, the Lionsgate panel with Bombshell. It was amazing. My friend Kia Kiso was the one hosting it and doing the Q&A. Yep. And one of the things that I love is that the PGA has these amazing formats. They changed it up. So in this one, we didn't actually see the screening and get 2 seconds with the director and two of the producers. Yep. We actually got to spend the entire 40 minutes. And Kia was able to get into this kind of master's level program of information that I feel like we all benefited from.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I mean, I know you and I were talking about it. You haven't seen the movie yet, but I watched it. And, you know, it's about sexual harassment that took place that brought down Roger Ailes, who was a very powerful guy at Fox News. And, you know, I think I actually watched the movie twice back to back because I get OCD about stuff sometimes. And just,
I did that with Knives Out. I get it.
I just loved it. I thought, I mean, my God, Charlize is so fantastic as Megyn Kelly. And, you know, so what I want to talk to you about as a producer and as a writer, I mean, look, you're a woman like I am. And, you know, would you say, like, did you kind of experience some level of harassment or some kind of disrespect, perhaps, like in your, you know, in your career, like coming up, because you were like one of the first, South Asian women to be, you know, going behind the scenes, doing something like being a writer, being a director, being a producer. What has your experience been?
Well, I'm going to first start off with, I am not an OG because I know some real OGs and they're amazing.
Bhavani, you're plenty OG, all right? Don't try to downplay your OG-ness here.
Oddly enough, I actually had a cousin before me who worked for Bloomberg and for a bunch of other companies prior to me. And but regardless, I actually did have an experience. And it was funny because I was 20 and I didn't realize that it was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So by what I mean by that is I was 20 and I was a programming director at a small station. And there was this guy and I didn't particularly like it. Like, you know, you get, most of us as women have intuition that we ignore.
Yes.
You know, and this particular guy always got my cackles up. The hairs on my hands, you know, and he was never saying anything to me at that point. But he had said things that were a little off color to other people. And, you know,
other people as in other women, you mean?
Other women. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Other women.
Okay.
And I was I would be scheduling some stuff and he would reach over for tapes. And at first I didn't realize what he was doing.
Okay.
He would reach over for tapes. Uh-huh. Reach over for tapes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was trying to get some of that titty action. He was trying to get some of that titty action. Okay.
Pretty much. It was around the time that summer had come and I was finally not wearing 3,000 tons of clothes because this was New York. And it was the first time he got a little bit bolder.
Okay.
And he actually went for a touch.
Ooh. And like a titty rub, like this, like what?
See, yeah, he was skimming before and then finally he went for the actual rub.
Wow.
And it took my brain a couple of minutes to understand what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something they talked about yesterday where you go into shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had never been in this experience before.
Yeah.
You know, my father was a fierce advocate for women. I think I just never had been in that position. And this was my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I was mad at myself for being frozen.
Hmm.
You know, because, I mean, mind you, the rest of the story happened within, you know, like 10, 20 minutes, but I literally stopped typing.
Wow.
I didn't. I knew something had happened, and my brain was just like, hold on.
Mm.
Don't do anything else. Something has just happened.
Right. Right.
And then I finally walked into one of the people who was one of the heads of the company, who was a news director and a very good friend. And I still didn't have words.
Wow.
I remember that.
Wow.
For someone who speaks all the time, I didn't have words.
Right.
And I walked in, and I was so mad that I winded up like hitting the wall and making a little dent in the wall. And he goes, okay, let's take a deep breath. And he wasn't, he was watching me process it. So whatever it was, you know, he knew that I had to work through it myself. And he was, you know, on both sides of this, here was this completely ignorant man. And on the other side was this intelligent, amazing news director who I still love. And he brought me into his office and he sat me down. You know, he didn't bring me into his office. I went into his office and he let me have this work through, mm-hmm. which I think is so important.
Yeah.
A lot of times we as women don't express anger because, you know, it's labeled differently.
That's
men
right.
get angry and it's, oh, they're passionate. How is it that we're not passionate? And or
no, we're bitches. We're bitches or we're being whatever,
yeah.
you know.
And I've been called that word many times in my career.
I take, I carry it as
wrong.
A pride. Fuck them.
Yeah. At this point, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I finally found a word and I told him what happened. And he said, go home. Now, I thought at first, what? And he goes, no. You get the rest of the day off. Okay, just go home. It's okay. I'm going to take care of this now. I said, all right.
Yeah.
You know, once again, maybe 23, 20, 22, a very young 20.
Right.
I went home and then the rest of the office told me what happened, which is basically got called into the office. And he was told, A, you see that dent, next time I'll hold you down that the dent is in you.
Ooh. Oh, I like it.
Yeah, the news director actually said that to this guy and then basically was just like, you don't get to come around when there are way too many women here.
That's right.
And so he winded up getting like the super night shift. And I barely saw him after that.
See, what fascinates me about that kind of story, right, is he's already paving the road to do something awful, right? Today, it's a rub with you. Tomorrow, it's an ass grab with somebody else. The other day, is pinning a girl down.
He has a new director, didn't have the power.
Huh?
He, as a news director, didn't have the power to fire this guy. Because trust me, that conversation had been had. And he, as the new director, didn't have the power to fire this guy. And the people who were, you know, running the company, I knew weren't going to fire this guy. But let's put it this way. He never did anything again after that.
Yeah.
That was a fact that I knew. But you're absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah,
you're encouraging. We make our own demons.
Company.
We're making our own demons.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
We're making our own monster. You know what fascinates me is that now, you know, especially in the stand-up comedy world, there's a lot of male comics coming out and saying, they're like, oh, I can't even say to a girl she's beautiful. She's going to take it as sexual harassment. You can't
no,
even
not.
Look at a girl. And it's like, wait a fucking minute here. If your way of saying hello to a girl is by grabbing her ass, yeah, maybe that's not the fucking right way to say hello, right? Maybe there's a new way you can learn by saying, hey, you look very nice today, you know? And not
no,
a
here's
fucking...
the thing. I agree with you. It's the physical, but it's also the tonation. I think that people have forgotten what it means to talk to another human being.
Yeah.
Because I think texting doesn't have tone.
Yes.
Postings don't have tone.
Yes.
You know, you and I having a conversation right now.
Yes.
You can hear that we're friends.
Yes.
You can hear that we're strong women.
Right.
And you can hear what it is that we want to say and how it is that we're wanting to get this across.
Right. Right.
I think that people have lost that ability to understand that you're when you say, you know what, you're beautiful.
Right.
That is just a genuine, hey, baby, you're beautiful.
By the way, while sticking your dick out, like that's
yeah.
P- put the dick away, maybe just compliment me, and I'm good. Like, I'm good. I'll take that compliment.
I don't need to rub up right this second. Now, if I've invited you and we're hanging out a couple of times and you're sensing there's an opening.
That's right. Literally and figuratively. Ha, 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 ha. Sorry.
But start gently at first.
Take your dick out gingerly, as she says in Bump.
Take out your dick first. Maybe hold my hand. That would be lovely. Hold my hand.
Yeah,
first.
But don't take your hand and then stick it on your dick.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I didn't give you that permission. You know what I'm saying? Like,
many men don't understand that, but that's neither here nor there.
But so here's a question. Do dick pics have tone when they're sent?
I think dick pics have no tone, and people should understand it is not the prettiest picture that anyone wants to see.
It's tone deaf. You know, dick pics are tone deaf.
Just are tone deaf. Dick pics are tone deaf. I don't need to see your chest. I really don't right away. I don't need to see. Here's what I need to see: that you're funny, that you can hold a conversation, and that you can ask me to coffee within the first few, you know, interactions on Bumble or whatever it may be.
So you're a lot nicer than I am. For me, like, I'm okay with a dick pic, but you got to attach it to your bank account or, like, your credit score or, like, your return, your tax returns. Like, so I know, like, what's up. Like, where are we standing? Attach it to your mortgage papers. Like, hey, look, bitch, I own a home and I'm rocking
you're
about 7 inches.
Right,
it's like, okay, boo, I see you. You know,
I can deal with that.
Yeah, makes it a little bit more bearable, you know? I'm about that life. I'm about
that
dick pic life.
You're getting Tyler here to laugh too, you know?
Huh?
Tyler's getting a kick out of this conversation too.
Oh yeah, is he okay? I mean, I hope he's taking notes. Like, you know.
Well, no, Tyler's actually a wonderfully married man.
Oh, is he?
Doing
okay.
All the right things.
Oh, good for
and
you, Tyler.
He's a great little dad, and he's a girl dad too. So.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. Yeah. So all the Bhavani, you and I were talking about being single women in Los Angeles. And how that is like the least fun thing to do to be single in LA. I mean, do you get dick pics?
I think I've done something to block them because I get that funny like weird pixelation thing going. This may be an inappropriate picture, and it's like,
wait, on your via text?
I don't give out my phone number at all. I mean, I will tell you that I've gotten a lot of. I think my dating life is stalled because I don't give out my phone number on these apps. And they're still trying to send things, but the apps have gotten much better about like pixelating stuff.
Yeah.
I do get a lot of requests for my phone number because, you know, they cannot send me these legit lovely pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't, my business and my phone are the same. So I'm just kind of like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. 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 No,
you
know?
You can ask me to coffee and if I like you, I'll give you my phone number.
Yeah.
I have not given my phone number to people.
Yeah.
My last date, the guy asked for me to pay for my portion of the meal. And I'm like, okay.
No.
You know?
No. No.
Here's the thing. You get to the point where you realize, I don't even want to spend time with this person ever again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm cool with paying for my portion of the meal.
Yeah, I've been kind of shameless on sometimes where if a date's not going well and the guy just starts doing that cheap shit where he's just like, we're going, it's like, I just take the check and I push it right back at him and I just look at him. I just stare him down till he pays for it. And then I'm like, now I gotta go, motherfucker. I gotta go. Fuck you. Like, I'm out. Like, don't waste my fucking time.
People are closing the restaurant around you and the check's still there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and if he starts acting like a douchebag, I'll start talking to the guy next to me. Fuck him. I don't give a shit. You know, I've been...
You are cracking me up.
I swear to God, I've been on dates.
You know, a friend of mine once said, it's not LA. You know, she actually met... one of the people that she was serious with at church, which I, you know, that's also always, she's just like, I think what it is that we've forgotten how to get out there. Not us, just all of us, you know, I do know women who, I swear to you, I'm like, sometimes, you know, I'm just working somewhere and I have no issues eating alone.
Yeah.
And I had this one, I'm watching, you know, like you're a people watcher, you're walking around, you're people watching. And I was watching this date. And I actually felt bad for the guy. And it's rare that you feel that way. But, you know, he was actually being really nice. And she was pretty much gold digging. And I was just like, girlfriend, have the conversation with him.
Why don't you just say hello? Oh, Bhavani, I lost your camera.
We're on.
Oh, dude. I was like, don't.
You got me back?
I was like, girl, don't.
You got me back?
Don't go dark on me. Yeah, I see you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
My aunt just called me in the middle.
All good. All good. I got you back. I got you back. All right. Let's talk about enough with the day. I want to talk about your career. I want to talk about,
sure.
I mean, my God, you, this is me even before becoming, you know, stand-up comic and even pursuing acting. I remember watching American Desi, which Desi is a slang way of saying South Asian for the non-South Asian people. It's just, Desi actually means, just means local. That's what it means. So that's what all South Asian brown people call each other, Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, even the Nepali people call each other Desi, right? And I remember watching it and being pretty much like blown away by just because seeing representation, and it really mattered because what it did for me is I watched it and I was like, oh, this is possible. This is a possibility that is something that if I want to pursue something, you know, in the arts, it's possible for me. And that's thanks to people like you who were trailblazing.
I was a PA.
Yeah, but you were trailblazing.
I was a little PA and an assistant set designer, but it was one of my favorite and best experiences. I run an organization called South Asians in Entertainment and South Asian Women in Entertainment.
Yep.
And I'm just starting to talk to Piyush about possibly putting together a little event to get everybody back together. And I'm very, very excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little further back just because I agree with you, but my career representation started with some other people as well.
Mm.
I'll give you just a little background. I think this is my favorite story, and I shared it at Disney when I was leaving Disney. But I was about 7 or 8 when my parents took me to see Snow White. Walt Disney presents Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
In Radio City Music Hall. My father supported some of his family back in India. So, you know, we had a tight budget, but my father had this thing that every year we were going to go see a Broadway show. And the very first show we saw was the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. And I remember we couldn't afford the good seat, so we were slightly higher up, but we yet managed to get the front row of that. And I remember the curtains going up, the orchestra pit being lit up, and knowing this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Wow.
That was it.
You mean be a performer or be in entertainment? Like, what do you mean?
Be in entertainment.
I see.
I knew that I personally am not the person who. I don't mind being on stage. I don't think that I wanted to be an actor. I never had those aspirations. My mother did for me, but I didn't have that. I've been on stage as a theatrical child through my mother, but I had never been. Sorry, I'm moving around. I know. But
that's how my brain is. Just moves around all day. So
yeah, I'm a fidgeter.
It's relatable.
I apologize. Anyway, so that was, you know, but then my father was a huge movie buff. So I saw beautiful movies. And my father and my mother were older when they had me.
Yeah.
So I saw movies by Gurdas. I saw Pyasa. I saw Sol Vasal. So these were the first movies I saw that had the construct of characters and how characters grew. Right.
Yeah.
Then I saw, you know, the Jungle Book with Sagu. And you're just like, you know, I'm mind blown.
Sure.
I then went on to work with American Desi. But before American Desi, I actually worked in a magazine called Masala Magazine. And I don't know if you remember it, but Masala Magazine.
I remember Masala,
really. Big shout out to these guys. It was the first South Asian magazine representing South Asians and Americans on the newsstands.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, I had the divine pleasure of interviewing Jag Mundra, Smriti Mundra's father, Ashok Amrit Raj, and my only cover was Padma Lakshmi.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And this was before Padma Lakshmi did Top Shaft. This is when she was still a model.
Right.
Then, you know, I wound up hearing about this movie and just throwing my name in the hat. This was before things got posted and stuff. Heard about it through word of mouth, and I was lucky enough to go on, and I was lucky enough to be part of one of the best casting crews I have ever worked with.
Yeah.
It was new for all of us, seeing that many brown faces.
Yeah.
In one place, you're like, oh my God, there are other brown people here. This is fantastic. You know?
Yeah.
It really was. It, you know, and it was a sense of home.
Yeah.
That cannot be described in any other way than when you're amongst people who get why you're eating, you know, a tortilla with your hand or whatever it may be. You know, it was like no one questioned you because everyone else came from the same background.
Right. Right. Right.
The movie itself was shot between New York and New Jersey, and it was amazing. And it was the spirit of who we were at the time.
Right.
And I'm going to say that again. It's the spirit of who we were at the time.
Right.
And why I say that is I want to see more South Asian content on mainstream television that represents the now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have changed. Some of us are second generation
right.
Indian Americans.
That's right.
And we don't talk about that. It's always, oh, arranged marriage. It's like, all right. Yes, we still all have that thing
yeah.
happening with us.
Well, you and I
but
don't have
so
that. We didn't get the memo on arranged marriages.
Oh, I did. I had a memo all day long.
Yeah?
My mother was a matchmaker.
Oh, so. Was she? Oh, my God.
My mom was a matchmaker. She actually had 10 successful marriages. And then you came along.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. It was all over. I'm very fussy, apparently. I think a lot of it was also... You know, I'll be honest. I'll be very honest. Like, a couple of guys actually said it to me, and they're like, you need a guy who can keep up with you. It has nothing else to do with anything else, but they're like, that's the missing equation for
can
you.
I
and
just,
I was just like, that was very interesting.
Yeah, but can we just talk about that for a second, though? This whole thing, okay? And I've had Desi guys tell me that, too, right? I've had South Asian guys tell me, you're a little much for me. You're a little too much for me. To me... That's not that I'm too much. It's that you're too little. Okay? I'm sorry not to be harsh about it. But I've been in a relationship. I was married. I was married for 9.5 years to an American Greek man. He did not think I was too much. He was totally fine with the fuck I was. I have dated other and been in a relationship with other people who have never once told me that I'm too much. So to me, it just represents like, I understand
well,
that you may...
Okay, so this was not... Okay, so this... Let me backtrack. So some of this was not relationship.
Oh.
This was much more very pure arranged marriage meetings.
Okay.
You know, so the one thing I realized is when you meet someone and you're hanging out with them on your own, kind of like, I'm building. Yeah, I haven't heard that you're much. It's really when the decision has to happen in 2-3 weeks. That's when it's like, oh, I don't know if
you
can handle it.
Wow. Express wedding.
It's not even so much express wedding. It was just express, are we getting into this? You know, are we really doing this? You know,
right.
Because there are other humans involved. The chess pieces are all moving very quickly.
Yeah.
This guy, I will give him credit. This guy was from Tokyo. He was a good 8 years older than me, I think. He was some kind of big mucky muck investing guy. And he was very nice. Very intelligent.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, you know what? I could most probably, you know, the intelligence level in this man is something that I can be with on, you know, on a longer term basis.
Yeah.
And he was very sweet and he was very kind and he had hung out here for 3 days and he took me to like the best restaurants and the whole nine yards. Very sweet. And didn't need to do any of that stuff. We actually wound up hanging out in Universal for a little bit. And it was at last dinner. He goes, you know, I've had a really brilliant time. And he goes, I am just exhausted. I was exhausted yesterday.
Yeah.
He goes, and I know you did 5 other things before you came to hang out with me.
Yeah.
He goes, I could say yes to this and we could get married. And I'm going to say right now, in like 8 to 9 years, you're going to be bored with me because I can't keep up with you. He's like, I'm burning now. And he goes, and it's not the age difference. It's just your lifestyle. You genuinely, you can do 10, 15 things a day. He goes, I go to work, I get stuff done, I do maybe 1 or 2 things. That's my thing. But I respected that.
Yeah.
You know, I
you
know, I look at it and go, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for not wasting my time.
Yeah.
Thank you for not making me feel like, you know, 3 months from now, he saw it within the first 3 days and he's just like, not for me.
And then he married a fembot.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
It just turns her off. It's like, now you're getting too much. She's like, he's like, you're too much.
I don't know. Maybe I have hope. You know, maybe I give guys way too much credit. I don't know.
I think you're a lot nicer than I am, Bhavani, when it comes to stuff like that. I think I've just been... I don't know if I'm jaded, but I definitely have a lot less tolerance for bullshit. I feel like the older I get, the less fucks I give. And I just don't care. Like, if you're on the same page as me, great. We're not children. We are well in our 30s and 40s here. If you don't have your shit together now, I don't fucking know. I'm not here to rescue you. I'm not throwing you a fucking lifesaver. Have a nice life. I'm not a rehab center. This is not a rehabilitation center.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
Get your shit together.
I got my shit together. I went to therapy, fucking did yoga, just figure the shit out.
I meditate. I go to therapy. I am a big advocate for even telling people about this because we do have some taboos around going to therapy in the South Asian community. So I'm very vocal about the fact that I have gone to therapy and I am in therapy.
Yeah, God
and
bless.
I believe, yeah, and you know what? It has helped me. Because I can honestly tell you that I had, my father passed away in 2013 and I didn't deal with it, and then my mom kept getting sicker and I'm working, I'm doing this. And it was after I got into therapy for a little while, my cousin noticed a difference in my voice. And she started crying on the phone with me. I said, what's wrong? And she goes, I didn't know how to say it to you. I didn't know if you were going to take offense, but your voice was so high pitched, I just thought you were going to implode at some point. This was right after my mom's stroke. My mom was on the ventilator at that point, and she had called to check in on me. And I could hear her voice breaking as she's talking to me, and I couldn't process that she was worried about me. And it was after a couple of months in therapy that I realized I had held so much in. We as South Asian women hold space for a lot of people. And we don't know how to hold space for ourselves a lot of times.
Yes.
And
because we're told not to. We're told not to.
We're told not to. Yeah, absolutely. We're told not to. Don't be too big for your bridges. All that other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I can say to you that one of the reasons I started SAWE, South Asian Women Entertainment, was I wanted us to be a collective. And then just recently I started SAWE peer support because so many of us are going through so much and we don't have anyone to hold space for us.
Even
here, like one of the rules of the group is you don't have to talk. You can come and just listen, because sometimes that's cathartic to know somebody else is in the same situation.
That's right.
And we're all in entertainment. And some of us, we don't have supportive families. I was blessed to have a father who really did believe in me being in entertainment. I didn't have other family. Like my mom was always on the fence back and forth, to feel like you have a found family. Something my best friend actually recently said about something. She said, there's something called found family. And I thought it was so interesting because it's true. And I'm the first person, I adopt people all day long. It's like, oh, you're my sister now. Oh, you're my family now. And I don't even give you choices. It's like, you're my family. But in entertainment, we're lonely.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us work, especially writers, work in caves.
That's
a
right.
lot of time.
That's right.
I'm so sorry. Apparently, I have every alert on my phone coming on.
That's all right.
But yeah, I know. So it started with American Desi and it was such an amazing experience, and everyone was figuring things out. And then I went on to work with Entertainment Tonight, where I was one of the browner people at that time. At that time in the New York office. But I will tell you, Linda Bell Blue as a woman taught me a lot. I mean, she would sit down with interns at times. I mean, she would just pop in one day and she gave us some advice. And I remember, I loved that.
Yeah.
I loved the fact that there's a connection there.
Yeah.
There's somebody who just
I mean, do you feel are you in that place now? Like, do you consider yourself a mentor to a lot of other, younger South Asian women who are entering the business, who are writers or producers or artists? Do you consider yourself a mentor?
It's funny. And this is still the self-work I have to do.
Yeah.
I get asked this a lot. This is actually a question. Well, can you mentor me? I don't feel like I've done enough to mentor.
Yeah.
So what I do in the South Asian peer group is much more of community mentoring.
Yeah.
But I feel like people like Rina Singh.
Yeah.
Samantha Nair. Sujata Murthy. Sujata Murthy is actually, senior vice president over at Fox. No, I'm sorry. a senior vice president over at Universal Music for publicity. And she was one of my first business mentors. And yeah. I look at those levels. But mm-hmm. having said that, playing, you know, on the other side, yeah, I've had a career. Yeah, I can give advice. But there's that thing in our head going, who are you to give advice?
Oh,
who are you?
Interesting. But don't
it's that gremlin that never dies.
But don't you feel like, do you have a counter voice to just kind of have this logical kind of like, you know, the side where you're just like, look at all my accomplishments. Like, look at where I come. Like, well, I think one of the things that we also as women and South Asian, and I think maybe even just in general, if you don't come from an entertainment background, entertainment family, we dismiss ourselves where we say, who the fuck am I to, you know, have the audacity to pursue this? Who am I to have the audacity to consider myself a success? And the truth is, who are you not to consider yourself a success? Who, like, why would it be
Marianne
any other
Williamson.
Way? You know what I'm saying?
No, like, it's Marianne Williamson has a... Sorry.
There are so many artists, right, who are like, you know, Clint Eastwood, for instance, right? Clint Eastwood has a daughter mm-hmm. that's been looking to get a career for the longest time. She can't. She, you know, you don't really know much about Clint Eastwood's daughter. You know Clint Eastwood, but you don't know the daughter. So, I mean, I look at that and I'm just like, man, it doesn't matter. If you have, you know, if you're like, you know, if you are persistent, you are, you know, smart, you are nice to people, you are talented, you never give up on your dreams, you will eventually achieve your dreams. It's inevitable. It's inevitable.
No, it's absolutely true. Look. Marianne Williamson has a quote, and it's exactly what we are talking about right now. But, you know, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful beyond measure.
I agree.
You know, so, and there's a line which says, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. I very much hope, you know, you playing small does not serve the world.
That's right.
There's nothing enlightening about you know, shrinking so that people don't feel insecure around you.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
We are all meant to shine as children do. I mean, you know, this quote came to me very many years ago, and it does help me counter this thing that, you know, this little gremlin. But I've noticed every time I step into that light, how like the Sally was stepping into that light where it was like, we need to hold space for each other. We need to have an organization. Now, you know, South Asians Entertainment came out of that and out of, you know, Anisha, Mega, and Retina putting together South Asian Happy Hour where people were getting together.
Yeah.
But the idea is that we can empower each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
You know, look at how much great content out there. Look at Mindy. I mean, look, for me, Mindy's an icon too, because Mindy's doing something. Lily Singh's doing something.
Yep.
These women are doing these amazing things. Bella Bajari over at Netflix.
Bella's great. She's
great.
You know,
I'm going to mention all of that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Our South Asian community is only as strong as we bond together.
Agreed.
You know, we still have, you know, there are always these little, like, ruckuses that happen where one person feels a little bit above level. What I love is I have the privilege of, you know, doing Sawi and Sai, where we do these fireside chats, and the people I pick to come in are people who stay afterwards. They're not running out the door just because, like Reena Singh and Amit Shukla. Reena Singh is senior vice president over at 20th Century Fox, and Amit Shukla is president of Mass Productions with Michael Schomburg. They both stayed after the event and spent time with almost every participant. The first time we had 80 people,
that's
the second
amazing.
Time because of the coronavirus started, you know, we had 50. But here's the beautiful thing. These people did not shun out any one of these people. They didn't say, they talked to every single person. And that's the community that I'm building.
Right.
If the table's not big enough, let's build a bigger table.
I 100% agree with you. I think for me, like the whole, exactly what you just said, for me, when I started off Minority Reports, you know, I don't know if you know this, but when I started Minority Reports like 5 years ago at the Comedy Store, I made history by being the first brown person ever to produce a show. Yeah, I made history there.
You need to post that on Sawi.
Really? I didn't.
Yes.
Okay, I should do that.
We don't learn how to praise ourselves.
Yeah.
That's why I keep pushing you guys to praise yourselves.
That's why
we do Female Fridays, Female Friend Fridays.
I think it has more effect when it comes from you. And I'm just like, I'm at history, by the way. You know, it's just like, it feels on the inside, it feels that way. So
see, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not allowing ourselves. And this is why I felt like I couldn't be a mentor was, yeah, I work for Entertainment Tonight. I work for Disney. I work for all these massive companies. I can't be a director. I can't be a mentor.
Of course you can. Oh my God. I look exactly. at you as nothing but that. Are you kidding me?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It was actually, there's a, he was an acting coach, but a branding coach. His name was Sam Christensen. He got me on the path of really just kind of like doing this branding and self-work.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that he taught us was if you're not being authentically yourself, then who are you being? But he also used to do these monthly check-ins. And one of the things he taught us in that one was instead of just doing a to-do list, do a to-done list.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the thing. Your brain changes when you see how many things you've accomplished. So one of the other things he said was, why don't you write down, because I would feel like, oh, I've done nothing. But because why don't you write down everything you've done?
Yeah.
Oh, I work for Entertainment Tonight. Oh, I work for this. I did this. And it was very interesting when that started. But that's the thing. Why shouldn't you be praised for being the first?
You know what? Right after this conversation, I'm making a post. I'm going to post a picture of myself in like Yay. A bikini or something, like just right next to it. Just be like, I made history. But yeah, so when I started off Minority Report, my entire concept was because when, I don't know how much you know about the Comedy Store and their whole history, but you know, when Mitzi Shore started off Comedy Store, it was about being very, very inclusive of everyone, you know, female, male, it just didn't matter what background, it didn't matter. I mean, after September 11th, you know how many, like, you know, Maz Jobrani came into the fold and, you know, Maximilian, all these guys that came into the fold, and Mitzi was very, very welcoming, and God rest her soul, she was a fantastically incredible woman, you know, who was doing inclusivity at a time when it wasn't even a thing, right? So when I started off Minority Reports, I was like, man, I want to come up with a show that includes all these minority voices that would never get a platform at a place like the Comedy Store, because the Comedy Store is for the bigwigs, like, you know, your Joe Rogans and your Bill Burrs. And I love those guys. You know, I really love them and admire them. But I was just like, man, what about us? Where, how do we get our foot through the door? So I was just like, all right, well, if you're not going to pass me, then I might as well just produce a show, not just for myself, but for other people. You know, in the past 5 years, we've showcased over 500 comedians. And I'm incredibly proud
amazing.
Of that. Yeah, we show because over 500 comedians and we continue. And then I launched this. And I think for me, what I was thinking was this whole concept, you know, when I was in New York, growing up in New York, I would go on auditions for the South Asian roles, the Middle Eastern roles. And it was always like this competition. It was like, I'm not going to talk to her or I'm not going to talk to this person. And then I got here and as a stand-up comic, my brain just opened up and I was just like, you know what? I don't want to live in that kind of world. I don't want to live that kind of life where it was just like, it's mine, it's not yours. And I'm like, not only am I going to create a place for myself, I want to create this grand place for all these amazing voices, you know, and we include everything. We include all these voices because I feel like we can all learn something from each other and grow. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be South Asian. You can be a white dude. Like our debut episode here was this guy named Trey Crowder. Trey Crowder is a very, very funny comic. He goes by the liberal redneck. All his videos go viral. He's amazing.
Right.
And to me, he's a minority. That's a minority voice. How many rednecks do you go see going around calling themselves liberals? You don't, you know? And I wanted to kind of give that voice and give that place. And I feel like what you've done with Sawi is exactly that. It's not, you know, when I joined Sawi, I was like, oh my God, like, you know, can I share stuff? Can I post stuff? And now I feel like, wow, I belong to this fantastic group of like these South Asian women who are so empowering. One thing I have to say though, dude, of all the different diverse groups that I work with, I mean, when I did my Desi Girls Night Out last year in Orange County, we had 300 Desi women show up.
That's amazing.
100, Bonnie. And I was like,
I think I was
maybe
at the time. I think I remember that. Yeah.
Do you remember that? I was, you know what blew me away was I was like, I didn't know that our women were so supportive of each other like that. I just didn't know. It blew my mind. And I think
look, we've not been in that before.
Say that again.
You know, we've been in the auntie situation where we always feel like we were getting criticized.
That's
all
right.
All of a sudden, this new generation of us.
That's right.
And we're finally letting go of some of that stuff.
That's right.
And we're coming into, I can love you and still love me.
That's correct.
I can love you and still love me.
That's correct.
Let's take that in for a second because it's like, I can be so happy that you have this amazing show and you're doing so well and you're blowing up And I can still be happy for
I have
me
to be
well.
Careful when that's you say the blowing up part. So, because I'm Pakistani, so people take that a little bit the wrong way.
You know
so.
What I mean.
Sorry.
But I think that that's the thing. I think that's the thing that we had missing before the fact that we were fighting for scraps of the table.
That's right. That's right.
All
and,
the table.
And we don't need to do that.
Scraps the scrap. Oh, sorry.
Say that again. What did you say?
I said the F word. I'm so sorry.
Oh, are you kidding me? I just used the word motherfucker. You can say whatever you want.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. I said, look, I said, stop fighting for scraps at the table.
Yeah.
Fucking own the table. That's
legit.
That is really where I'm going now.
I 100% agree with you. 100%. Now, you have your incredible production company. What's the name of your production company?
My production company is called Bhavani Entertainment. We have 21-hour dramas that we're taking out to market. We also have an amazing show, a comedy variety show called Tokens. I have two amazing partners on that, Rama Krishnavaluri and Aaron Dennison. They are both just two of my favorite guys. Aaron and Rama created this idea, and I just came in to produce it. We have a sizzle. We are trying to get it out to all the big comedians because we need a tentpole for it. Because what it is, I mean, it's changing names to Comedy Arcade. But the beauty of the show is not only was the cast completely diverse, the material was inclusive and diverse, and the crew behind it was, inclusive of everybody and diverse.
Yeah.
That to me is so important.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was mentioning Sam Christensen and, everything that we've talked about. He had passed away in the beginning of last year. And just before they sold the studio, I had asked him to shoot in the studio. And it was a very magical moment for me because Sam had been kind of this grandfather, Santa Claus kind of figure to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had missed my, lost my father, and Sam had kind of taken some of that space. And then Sam's studio had become home for a very long time for me because I've practiced my pitches and practiced public speaking.
Yeah.
And to be able to do Tokens with a man who fought for diversity well before many, many other people did, to also be in a space doing something diverse, was really a moment I had.
Yeah.
And I'm getting verklempt because I didn't know when I would be able to experience that in my career.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to be one of the producers on that and to be like, oh my God, I'm actually doing this.
Yeah.
I'm doing the thing that can affect change.
Right.
So I'm really excited about having this show on the air very soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you. I can't wait.
Thank you.
I'm super excited.
So that's one of the shows, another show that we have. We have a bunch of shows. We have a show about a firefighter, a psychiatrist, and all the shows that I pick up, I'm very, very specific. And I do write, and I'll get to that one later. But the shows that I write and I work on have characters that develop and change.
Yeah.
And that's so important to me because a lot of times, like, I love shows, but characters kind of have one note or they develop over. Like, to me, that's the beauty of any kind of show is when I'm so sucked in because I'm watching this human change right in front of my eyes.
Right.
That's something that you don't have all the time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you mentioned your dad twice today on this on this episode. No, oh my God, please do not apologize. It's so beautiful. I want to ask you, and I ask all my guests this, mainly because it's something very near and dear to my heart. How much do you feel in your life pain has driven you or still drives you to do the things you do?
Good question.
Pain is a big factor for me. It's a huge factor in everything I do.
I will say, so my mom is very pragmatic, I think is the right word. I don't want to say she's goth almost, but no. My father was the sun.
Your father was the what?
The sun, he was very
bright and cheery.
Shit was really bad at times in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And my father found the rays of sun.
Mm.
even in the worst of situations. And so it's very hard for me to say that I drive with pain. I mean, yes, there is a fuel of missing my father and having that support system and that net, you know, of that human being who always was there to pick up the phone. I remember the first time I got into a little fender bender the other day, and I went to go call my father.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because anything that happened with the car was call daddy, call daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am fueled by gratitude and joy.
Okay.
By being blessed that I, you know, I genuinely, like, the pain of losing my father is a big thing, but I think there's a part of me that just is driven by that sunlight that I came from.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to answer your question, but it genuinely is, I am on the side of defense of that, just because I saw someone, and I was very well aware of our finances, that things weren't easy for us.
Yeah.
And I also saw that my father never made a thing about it. You know, it was never like, we can't. It was like, oh, we'll do it later. Like, it was never that we couldn't do it. Oh, we'll do it later.
Yeah.
I didn't question that. You know, like, there's so many beautiful things when you approach things and how you approach them.
Yes.
And we'll do it later became the thing of, like, my lists. My father was a list maker as well. So we made lists of things that we were going to do, and some of them we did.
Yeah.
You know, when we could finally afford it.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing that fuels me and pushes me, is the things that everything can be done.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
Right. Right. No,
and how passionate are you?
I agree with you. I mean, for me, it's, I don't know. I think you saw one of my videos about, just kind of growing up with an abusive dad and just kind of what that did for me. I think your relationship with your dad was a lot different than I had with mine. My father was like this super ambitious, you know, very smart guy, very successful business guy, made a ton of money, you know, but the one thing, like, my mom's gorgeous, you know, four older brothers, then a girl, which was me. And then our family on, like, the surface looked like this perfect kind of this family. But inside there was so much chaos. There was all this, like, oh, there's money and there's beauty and these healthy kids and everything's so nice and cool.
Right.
But inside it was fucked up because, you know, my parents were constantly fighting and bickering. There was a lot of conflict. My parents should have never gotten married. I'll just say that. But
but here's the thing. I will say this, darling. As much as I saw the joy, there was a lot of fighting.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing that I definitely do want to say, just because I think there are times, like you said, people think, oh, you know, you had the perfect family. No, I didn't. You know, my father was a screamer and I love my father. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to express things without screaming.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing I appreciated, though.
Mm.
He expressed things.
Yeah.
Something that I've learned a lot about just mankind is they sometimes have, they struggle with expressing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
My father expressed, and then after he was done yelling, he'd come back to the conversation calmly.
Interesting.
That was something that I found that many men, many uncles, it was just, this is law. My father would come back and, you know, and he said something that I thought that was very interesting, and I forgot to add it to the post. I just posted this thing on Sowie, said, let's do it. You know, let's instead of just having one day as Women's Day, why don't we just own the room? Why don't we just take over? You know, and so this little post that I did, and I added this thing, but I should have added this other thing. My uncle once asked, why do you let her go to all these parties and all these events and stuff like that? My father said, she doesn't ask.
I remember that. Wow.
Because she got to an age where she understood she was calling the shots. She was still living in our house, but she called the shots in her own life. She would tell me where she was going, who she was going with, and what time she'd come back.
Yeah.
The only issue that he and I would have about this is I never got back home on time when I said I was going to get home.
Right.
And that's the thing that we would fight about, but he'd have issues with. And, you know, like, he'd get scared, you know.
Yeah.
I also, I'm an only child with, my mom had 5 miscarriages after me.
Wow.
You know, my mom's health was pretty much from then on just tanked.
Yeah.
You
my
know?
God, that's a lot of trauma.
I learned Yeah, it's physical trauma. It's emotional trauma that she, you know, as much as I love my mother, I don't think she's dealt with some of that emotional trauma.
Well, none of our parents ever do. There's nothing wrong with them. No. I asked my mom to go to therapy. Her response, my friend told me I'm perfect. I'm like, good to know.
Good,
wow.
Mom.
Wow, perfect mom.
I forced my mom into therapy. Because my mom was in India, and I actually had the therapist go to her. And my mom scared her off.
Your mom's scared of the therapist? Dude, that's an achievement.
Let's define
at DC. That. Huh?
Let's define that. My mom can't walk. Okay, my mom's had a stroke, and, you know, she can walk. She chooses not to.
Yeah.
A woman who does not walk, who's had a stroke.
Yeah.
Quadruple bypass patient.
Yeah.
Scared off a 28-year-old woman.
Wow. What an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Well,
I know, right?
You know, it's funny. I once went to a therapist, and I started talking about my childhood and all the bullshit and trauma that I grew up with. And she was sweating, and I was like, "Are you okay?" And she was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I was like, "You don't look fine." I was like, "Am I scaring you?" And she goes, "No, you're not scaring me." And I was like, "Listen, bitch, if you have a cardiac right now, I can't help you. Like, I'm not giving
you. I do not resuscitate you.
I am not doing mouth to mouth with you. I don't even know you."
What my mother did was phenomenal. My mom actually reversed it. "Well, so why are you not married yet?" And I'm like, totally reverse engineered the whole thing. I was just like, "Oh, I love you. All right."
Dude, that is such a desi parent move right there. It's like, because she's a matchmaker.
Like, I don't want her coming around anymore. And I was like, "All right, I'm not paying if you're exclusive
to their son." Wow. Dude, gotta love desi parents. Gotta love desi parents.
But, you know, it was interesting. I actually took her to a homeopathic doctor. And I will say this because I feel like it's important for a lot of people to understand this piece of it. Before 2 years before, when you had gone to India, she had not had the stroke yet.
Mm-hmm.
But she had multiple organ failure when different parts of your body don't work properly. It sounds very horrible, but it's actually happening in a lot more people than we think. So multiple organ failure is something that happens to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The homeopathic doctor was amazing. He's in Bangalore. He looked at my mother, and then he looked at me, and he said this to me, and he wanted to make a point about saying this. He said, all of her illnesses, every single one, came from the fact that she did not mentally take care of herself.
Wow.
It is anxiety, stress, and depression that she has ingested, and she's put it into different parts of her body.
Wow.
This is what has caused all of your mother's issues.
Wow.
And when my father wasn't alive at the time, he goes, "Your father most of," because my father died of actually something they did in the hospital.
Yeah.
My father was a screamer, but his heart was so good. He had multiple blockages. Okay. Multiple blockages.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to do a bypass because they were like, his heart has figured out how to reroute itself.
Interesting.
That was the screaming. That was the, "I'm going to say what I want to say, mm-hmm. whether you like to hear it or not."
Mm-hmm.
But my father would sleep like a baby. A lot of people in this country and a lot of us in the entertainment industry do not. You know, my father's like, "I pray to God in the morning, I give him all my problems, and I go out the door. I'm good. I'm done." And he genuinely believed that. He screamed. He spoke.
Yeah.
You know, that's his own version of therapy, I guess.
Yeah.
But he didn't ingest it.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, especially as women, we do. You know, and that's the thing that I'm really hoping that Sawi and all these other groups really start talking about, is we can support and empower each other. But if we're not helping each other grow as individuals, we're doing half the job.
I agree with you.
I love Oprah because everything she does, it's all about growing us both as humans and empowering us as females.
That's right. That's right. I'm a big Oprah fan.
I'm a
big Oprah fan. You know what? That's a really fantastic note to start closing our episode today. But I wanted to ask you, do you have any social media you want to plug? Do you have any happy hours coming up for Sawi that we can attend?
Well, right now, okay, so Sawi doesn't have happy hours. The amazing South Asians in Happy Hour group does have happy hours led by Anisha, Mega, and Rachana. They did have one for Indian Film Festival. I'm not entirely sure if the Indian Film Festival is being postponed. I think right now everything is on hold, especially with the governor of California coming out and talking about the fact that no big congregations.
Yeah.
Having said that, let me give a couple of plugs, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course. I want you to give plugs.
So if you're a South Asian woman in entertainment, and let me define entertainment, anything in the arts. And I'm talking if you're an actor, writer, producer, artist, dancer, singer, you know, DP, crew person, doesn't matter who you are, come join our group. The one thing I do ask is please answer the questions, because a lot of y'all have profiles that are hidden and I can't figure out who you are and I can't let you into the group until I know that you're doing something within the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
South Asians of Entertainment is for everybody, both men and women. Please check that out as well. The other group that I work with is South Asians in Sci-Fi and Fantasy. I'm a big geek. So if you're a South Asian and a big geek, join us.
Yeah.
I'd love to have you guys visit Bhavani Entertainment. You see some of the shows that I'm working on, and we'd love to get to know you better as well. That's, I think, all my shout outs.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Bhavani. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope I didn't ramble all day long.
No, you were awesome.
Y'all had a good show out of it.
You were fantastic. You look so busy with all that stuff in the back. You look like a CEO for
sure. I got paper in the back.
You got paper, boo. You got a lot of paper. Thank you, Bhavani. Thank you so much for joining us. You're awesome. Thank you.
See you guys soon.
See you. That was our amazing episode with the fantastic writer-producer, Bhavani Rao. If you guys have not subscribed to our channel yet, you should, because we're doing some fantastic interviews and some fantastic episodes. So watch us, subscribe. We're on YouTube. We're on all main streaming services. And tell your friends. Share with your friends. I'll see you guys next time.